Hey guys, welcome back to the Toxic Mom Podcast. This is episode 3, and this is all about Michelle Blair. Okay, so who is Michelle Blair? She is a woman who was born on May 10th, 1979, and she has 4 children. Gabrielle being her oldest, followed by Stoney, Stephen, and Matthew. Gabrielle and Stoney are fathered by Alexandra Dorsey, and Stephen and Matthew are fathered by Stephen Barry. Early on in the girl's life, Mom and Alexandra split up. Mom retains primary custody, and Alexandra has visitation. I'm going to start this off with a timeline, and we're going to go back to 2002 and work our way up to 2015. 2002, there is a report made with Child Protective Services that there are burns on the bodies of both girls. Now, keep in mind, Stephen and Matthew in 2002 were not born yet. So right now, she only has the 2 girls. They come out, they do an investigation, they do discover that there is child abuse going on. However, the children were not removed from Mom's care. Nobody really knows what happens with that case because the file has been destroyed. So let's jump up to 2005. February of 2005, Gabrielle and Stoney are visiting with their father and grandmother. And as she is giving them a bath, she tells her son that she sees marks on their body, and he assesses them and says they do appear to be healed slashes. Another report is made with Child Protective Services, and they again confirm that there is abuse going on inside the home. However, there is no petition made to remove the children from Mom's custody. However, they are subject to counseling and frequent visits from Child Protective Services as follow-ups. Nobody really knows, again, if any of that really happened. A few years later, Michelle Blair gets notified that their grandfather is possibly molesting one of his granddaughters. So Blair makes the decision that her 2 girls will no longer be going over to their grandmother's house, Alexandra's mother. However, the father, Alexandra, is still able to see his children whenever he wants. But Mom is afraid that, you know, there's something sinister going on, and she doesn't want her girls involved. Just to give you a little backlog on this lady, Michelle, this is coming out of her own mouth. She claims that she was a victim of sexual abuse and molestation when she was a child into her teenage years. So she is very, very sensitive to when she hears that these things are going on, as should any parent. So a few years later, she meets a man named Stephen, and she has 2 boys, Stephen and Matthew. Stephen and Michelle break up, but Mom retains primary custody. So now she has 4 children in her care, and the fathers are allowed to have visitation. So let's jump up to April of 2012. Stephen Barry claims this is the last time he saw his boys. Michelle was giving him a very hard time seeing them in the first place. And he really didn't want to overstep because there was a custody order in place, and he really didn't want to go through the courts. So he just kind of let Michelle do whatever she wanted. It's pretty much what it sounded like. Same sort of thing with Gabrielle and Stoney's father. She started giving them hard time. At this point, we already know there's some bad blood because the grandfather was apparently molesting one of his other grandchildren, unknown if one of those children were Gabrielle and Stoney. So sometime in 2012, Gabrielle tells her mother that Stephen was possibly molesting, or excuse me, Gabrielle tells her mother that her brother Matthew, who was their youngest sibling, was playing with dolls in an inappropriate manner, meaning he was reenacting sex scenes with the dolls. And he's quite young. I think around this time he had to be about 6 or 7. So she goes and she allegedly asks Matthew, "Why are you playing with the dolls in this manner?" And he says, "Well, my brother Steven does this stuff to me when you're not around." So that infuriates mom. And she goes and she confronts her son Steven, who's 9 at the time. And her idea of confronting him was to inflict pain. And this is where this story takes a very interesting turn. Some of these stories that you read about almost sound like scenes out of a make-believe horror story. But they're not. They're real. People go through this type of torture in real life. This is somebody's actual horror story. This is not something made up that you see in the movies. No, this is someone's real life horror story. So how Michelle decides to punish Stephen for allegedly molesting her youngest son, Matthew, is by repeatedly punching him in the face, throwing scalding hot water on him, putting plastic bags over his head until he's unconscious. Then she would slap him a couple times to wake him back up, made him drink Windex, bleach. All the wounds that she's causing, she's pouring alcohol on them, bleach. That's how she decides to punish her son for allegedly molesting her youngest. Now, somebody might ask, well, how is she doing all this if the kids are going to school? Won't the teachers notice? No. So what do you think happens here? Do you think the kids are still enrolled in public school? No, not at all. She, to nobody's surprise, unenrolls them and homeschools them. Now, prior to unenrolling them, they really weren't showing up to school in the first place. The teachers had noticed, in particular, that the two girls weren't coming. And there was reports made. However, in Michigan, it is not a form of neglect because your children aren't attending school. But she tells the school that she's actually moving away. She never tells the school that she's homeschooling. She just leads them to believe that she moved away. So like so many kids in these situations, homeschool becomes a cover for I'm really abusing my children, and I can't have anybody knowing what's going on. You look back at pictures of her house, she covers the windows, she covers the doors, she really doesn't let anybody see them, and it kind of lines up with what both fathers were saying. They allegedly wanted to see their children, and she just wouldn't let those visits happen. So after about a week and a half of her physically and mentally abusing her son, Stephen, he dies. 18 months later, allegedly, Gabrielle again has a story that Stoney was molesting both Stephen and Matthew. So what do you think's going to happen to Stoney? Correct. She starts to endure the same brutalizing trauma that her younger brother Stephen went through. over the course of about a week or two, she punches her daughter, she kicks her, she bruises her tailbone, she chips her teeth, she throws hot water on her, she puts plastic bags over her head to where she can't breathe, but she takes it up a notch. She strangles her daughter, and that's how she kills her. So in August of 2012, Stephen died. 18 months later, the following year, 2013, she kills her daughter, Stoney. So let's fast forward to 2015, March 24th in particular. The sheriff deputies arrive to Michelle Blair's home to serve an eviction notice. They are going to physically remove her and the property from the home. However, when they arrive, she is not there, and Gabrielle and Matthew are not with her. She is actually babysitting one of her friend's infant children, and she brought her daughter and son along with her. She gets a clue, however, that the deputies are arriving to her home and removing her property, and she lets somebody know that she feels like she's going to be arrested. Now, why would she think she was going to be arrested? She killed her son 2.5 years earlier and her daughter about 1.5 years earlier. Well, as they are removing items from her home, they come across a deep freezer in the living room that's pushed up against a refrigerator. And the refrigerator is covered in these beautiful coloring pages that she has put on her refrigerator with magnets. Something that most parents do. You want to show off your children's artwork. So they open up the deep freezer, and there are two bodies inside. They have no idea who they are. The police are called in. They find out where Michelle is. And she does confess that she murdered her two children and placed them in the deep freezer. But she had help. She placed her son Stephen in the deep freezer herself, wrapped him up in his favorite blanket, and put his badly scorned body in the deep freezer. However, she had her daughter Gabrielle pick up her naked daughter, Stoney, who had a scarf wrapped around her neck, and she wraps her up in a plastic bag, and she makes her daughter Gabrielle place her sister's body on top of her brother. And the deep freezer sat in the living room from 2012 until 2015 with two of her siblings' dead bodies inside until the sheriff deputies came out on March 24th, 2015 and discovered them. All right, so once the bodies got to the medical examiner's office, it took 2 days for them to thaw out before the medical examiner could perform the autopsy. The autopsy matched what Michelle Blair stated she did. So I'll start with Stoney. Stoney exhibited signs of severe malnourishment. Starvation had started to take place in her body. She suffered blunt force trauma, which was the main cause of death. The medical examiner said there were so many injuries to her head, he almost lost count. There was evidence that chemicals were splashed on her and burns all up and down her body. She had evidence to suggest that she was punched in the face numerous times due to the lining of the mucous membranes that were altered from this abuse. He described her death as something that would be extremely painful and very slow and not quick. Stephen's autopsy revealed he was also malnourished. He had burns on his genital area and his buttocks and mid-abdomen. He also had multiple punches to the face. Same thing with the lining of the mucus in his mouth. And he had a toxicology screen done, and it revealed that there was some sort of chemical substance in his body, either bleach or Windex. However, Miss Jell did reveal that she forced him to drink Windex and bleach. So that lines up with the medical examiner's autopsy report. And like Stoney, he died a very slow, painful, agonizing death. After the bodies were autopsied, they were positively identified, and there was a service for both children that took place not long after, and it was held together. So let's get to the sentencing. Because she pled guilty, and she actually asked for the death penalty. But to her surprise, her state does not honor the death penalty. Michigan actually is one of the states that abolished the death penalty many, many years ago. So her best chance of a death penalty was to commit suicide or be killed in jail. I'm going to play, when she got in front of the judge, some of her testimony as to what she did to her children. And just to warn you, it's very graphic.
What did you do to Stoney Blair to make you feel guilty? She raped my son. I intentionally killed her. How did you do that? Started from the beginning when I found out about what Stoney was doing. It was 9 months later after finding out about Stephen. So for the whole 9 months, we were in the house and she was still raping my child. Did not know that when I first found out, after told me, I took a minute because I was not understanding, you know, that she did that to him, but I really punched her on many occasions. My son, I told him to tell me every single thing she did to him. So as she was telling me, he was telling me more and more things that she did. I assaulted her every time. By assault, I mean, I punched her. I had put a bag over her head till she lost consciousness. I threw hot water on her, scalding hot water from the faucet. Yes, I hit her in her head multiple times, over and over.
Before she died?
That was actually the day before she died and the day she died.
Okay.
Hit on her back, it was like on her tailbone. I kicked her.
Okay, so I'm going to stop it there. I think you guys get the picture. Everything she's stating that she did to Stoney 9 months after she killed Stephen is pretty much what she did to Stephen. Both kids received the same form of torture. Now, again, she's claiming that she found out Stephen was molesting her youngest son, Matthew. Apparently, he was putting his penis in his ear, raping him in the buttocks, urinating on him, making it seem like he was wetting himself at night. And she just felt like he needed to go. Now, after she kills Stephen, she allegedly claims that she was going to turn herself in. However, her youngest son, Matthew, begged her not to do that because he didn't want to lose her. Now, keep in mind, this is a child who's around kindergarten age at the time. So I'm not quite sure that that's true. But she contemplating on turning herself in after she killed the first kid. She did not, because then she killed a second one. Now, I'll play what the judge said at her actual sentencing. And this woman is claiming that both of her kids that died had it a lot better than she did. Again, don't know how that's true, but the judge did go into that at sentencing. She just couldn't understand how two children that ended up deceased and the manner of their deaths was, you know, better than her standing there alive and well. But Michelle is blaming all of these actions on partially because she felt like her children were being molested by each other, so incest. And then she also is claiming that because of her abuse as a child, she had a lot of suppressed anger. She suffers from something called conduct disorder. People with conduct disorder display symptoms of aggression, deception, and destruction. She's very aggressive, and I'll talk about that more once we get to the custody hearing that took place not too long after she was sentenced. She's very deceptive because she eluded people to believe her children were alive. In particular, Stoney, she was sending text messages to people from Stoney's phone. She eluded her family, saying, oh, she's away, she's out of town. The fathers were claiming they were trying to see their children. But she, again, would just say, yeah, they're out of town. And I guess the fathers just accepted that as an answer. They were okay with not seeing their children for many years and then finding out that they're dead. And she was destructive. Those are the three main things of conduct disorder: aggression, deception, and destructive. Clearly, she has very destructive behavior. She's very unstable. One of the fathers stated that she was unpredictable, which is why he sort of just backed off. He didn't want any issues with her. And clearly, the ultimate destruction is murdering her two children and sitting in a home with them for approximately 3 years before anybody discovers their bodies. So this is her sentencing. Just a little brief clip of what the judge said.
As a mother, one of your primary responsibilities was to protect your children. In that respect, you failed in the worst possible. There's nothing that can be done at this point to change what happened.
True, that's why I'm asking for life.
I know. And thankfully, that house of horrors that you created is no longer in existence. I do pray that your remaining children...
They will.
...will recover.
They will.
...from what they saw and endured in that household. What struck me as rather unnerving was that you stated your kids got it better than what you had. I fail to see how that's possible when you're still here.
You're talking about the deceased children?
No. Let me talk. This might not happen to you when you were a child. You had the opportunity to grow up.
True.
You had the opportunity to become an adult. You had the opportunity to make your own decisions with respect to running your own life. And you have with four children. Stoney and Stephen are never going to have that. they don't have those same opportunities. And when I think about all of the possible joys that they could be missing out on, one thing that strikes me is the greatest tragedy here is that they will never know what a life is like without experiencing fearing their life. They will never know the joy of what could have been in their life without having you in it. They lived in terrible fear of you. And I find that just so sad in this case. After all is said and done, you imposed the death penalty on your own children.
I did.
And you readily admit it, and you want to take responsibility of it. You're therefore sentenced to the Michigan Department of Corrections for the rest of your life without possibility of parole, meaning, of course, that you will never get out.
Okay, so there you have it. She got life without parole, 2 counts of premeditated first-degree murder, along with tons of child abuse charges. And off to jail she went. Now, I'm going to just briefly talk about the custody hearing that happened not too long after this. The reason there was a custody hearing, because people just didn't understand why someone who was given life in prison had a custody hearing, was because there's 2 surviving children, obviously, Gabrielle and Matthew, and there's 2 fathers, Stephen and Alexander. The state of Michigan wanted to terminate the parental rights of all 3 individuals. So the custody hearing took place in June and July of 2015. The majority of the testimony came from one of the psychiatrists that interviewed both children after they were rescued. And at the time, they were placed with their great aunt. And Gabrielle and Matthew both stated, and there was physical evidence of this, that they were also abused. Gabrielle said she was burned with a curling iron. She was hit by a 2x4. Her mother threw shoes at her. Matthew was beaten a lot. Neither one of them attended school, but the doctor did say that, you know, Gabrielle had a very good IQ level for someone that had been out of school for a long time. And we know there was probably 0 homeschooling going on. And they sort of developed the Stockholm syndrome from, you know, years of terror and abuse. They developed a bond that they needed each other. Gabrielle was pretty much like Matthew's mom. She stated to the doctor that she was so afraid, you know, when the mother would call like Matthew upstairs, she didn't know if he was going to come down harmed or even dead. So, you know, she was pretty resilient, they said, for someone that experienced this type of trauma. And she said Gabrielle and Matthew really needed each other, and he wanted to make sure that no matter what happened, they were going to be put together. Now, Gabrielle was almost an adult at this time, but Matthew was still quite young. Both of the fathers wanted to keep their parental rights. However, they both admitted that they were very lackluster with their parenting. They were hearing their parents. They really weren't involved. They blamed it all on Michelle, saying that she was difficult. They didn't want to argue with her. The one father said she was extremely unpredictable. She was very aggressive. They knew that there was child abuse going on because, again, you know, in 2002 and in 2005, there was allegations that were founded. So they knew that outside of their custody, this woman was harming them. And then the other big thing was, how do you go years without seeing your children and you just take the word of this woman? Oh, yeah, they're away. They don't want to see you. But you know there's a history of her harming your children, and you just take her word that they're okay. You don't inquire or demand or get the courts involved. Like, I haven't seen my son or daughter in this amount of time. And they didn't. And then it's the child support. They both were extremely in the rears in child support. One owed $12,000 in child support and couldn't keep a job, in and out of jail. He lived with another adult that had 3 kids. Gabrielle's father, Alexander Dorsey, owes $37,000 in child support, doesn't have a job, hops from place to place, no stability. So that was also argued. Like, why do these men want to be involved when they really weren't involved even when the other two children were alive? And when a non-custodial parent sort of turns a blind eye to things, they are also engaging in the form of neglect. So they really, I think, were just doing this as, you know, I don't know. Were they trying to get custody so that they could get some sort of state benefits? Who knows? So the ultimate decision was that Michelle Blair lost custody or lost her parental rights for her two remaining children, as did Stephen Berry, who is the father of Matthew and Stephen, who is deceased. But the judge did something interesting, and he did this on purpose. Gabrielle's father was able to keep his parental rights, and he did that so that Gabrielle would receive therapy and the proper schooling she needed. And at the end of this, in 2015, the great aunt was the one who was going to agree to take these two remaining children in and give them a loving and nurturing home. The doctor that interviewed them did say, you know, he felt like this was the best decision because, you know, he felt that the aunt was somebody who was going to give these two children the care that they so desperately needed. So that's that. Now, a lot of people actually, believe it or not, believe Michelle Blair's story. They believe that there was molestation going on in her home. However, there was no evidence of that. They did an examination of Matthew, and obviously there was an autopsy done on Stephen, and there was no evidence that either child were victims of molestation. You have to remember, the body was pretty well preserved. It was frozen for almost 3 years, and, you know, it was pretty intact. So decomposition wasn't really there, as if she were to just bury the body out in the backyard and it would turn to bone. So, but a lot of people, you know, believe her, and they say, you know, she clearly was abused herself. She knows the signs. But the only issue is, this abuse didn't just start when she found out that the kids were molesting each other. This abuse started as early as 2002. So how can we explain that? And even after the two demons, like she called them, she killed, she still was physically and emotionally abusing her other two children and covering it up, not allowing them outside of school, you know, and not turning herself in, saying, you know what, by the way, there's two dead kids in my deep freezer. So she, you know, go back to that conduct disorder, she did a good job of deception. And what another thing is, when she did get arrested, there was people on the TV who were kind of taken back. She was arrested because she presented herself so nice in public. Again, deception. She had to keep herself in camouflage so nobody knew what was going on. However, there are allegations that her neighbors knew that abuse was going on. So many people knew that this was going on. And once again, nobody really cared to follow up. And I just can't wrap my mind around two grown men who knew that this woman was unstable. They knew her very well, obviously. They were intimate with her on multiple occasions because they have two children with her. And they just allowed her word. Yeah, they're away. They don't want to see you. And you just go those many years without questioning. And even the people around, like, there was one of the children's grandmothers lived in the same housing area. And, you know, these two children are dead and, like, nobody knew. Just so very sad. So Michelle Blair is in jail. And after she got to jail, she had a very tough time fitting in. She had 44 incidents against her. Two resulted in assaults that were, she was tried and convicted on. And in addition to her life sentence, she got 3 years on each of those charges. Prison guard was, you know, upset. She had feces thrown on her by Michelle, urine. She's throwing Pringle cans. She starts fights. She's just very destructive. And I think she just cannot cope. It hasn't been recent, actually, believe it or not. This was like all around the time that she first got to jail. She's had a very hard time accepting the fact that she's going to be locked up for the rest of her life. Because, you know, remember, she wanted the death penalty. And this is why I just personally don't believe her story. I'm not buying that she did all this because these kids were molested. Because if you think about it, she killed a child from each of the fathers. So she took away Stephen from Stephen, and she took away Stoney from Alexandra. So was this direct retaliation against the two of them for being deadbeats? They clearly are deadbeats. It was proven in court. And in their own words, they admitted that they did not really see their kids. And that's why one of them lost his parental rights. So, you know, who really knows? We don't know. But we do know that there was no evidence of molestation against any other children. And Gabrielle didn't testify in open court, but, you know, she never saw anything from what records show. So we will never probably know what happened, but just know that those two children are resting comfortably right now. And the other two are out of harm's way, out of misery. And hopefully as they get older, they can have seemingly normal lives. Apparently Gabrielle wanted to be a veterinarian, and, you know, hopefully her dreams of that come true. And when Matthew becomes an adult, whatever he wants to do, hopefully that is a dream come true to them. But very sad end to one of the, you know, another case that, you know, swept under the rug. These children get thrown under, you know, the bus, and they're just never pulled out. All right, so do you think Michelle Blair is a toxic mom? Let me know. Email thetoxicmompodcast@gmail.com. Instagram and Twitter @toxicmompodcast. We'll chat soon.